my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 88, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. Beyond the darkness. Beyond the human evolution is the post-atomic horror, a genetically superior podcast exiled from popular media, banished by fans who were sick of hearing about Star Trek. Left for dead, it has survived. From Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham, the creative minds behind the Sarcastic Voyage podcast, comes a new Star Trek experience. The post-atomic horror. Available now for download on iTunes and at postatomichorror.com. At the end of the internet lies the beginning of vengeance.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Last time, Willikins taught Nick all about the facts of life.
What, the TV show?
No, the facts. The actual facts. Of life.
What? There are actual facts called the facts of life? Doesn't that get confusing?
Not for me. Anyway, on they walked, the annoying little man and his butler. On through Devonshire upon Hertford, past Puddinghenge, through the woods of Warwick, Ford, Chesterham. England. They're in England. They haven't left England in almost 20 episodes now, and that's where they still are.
Sir, have you perhaps worked out a destination as such? We, which is to say I, have been walking for at least 10 kilometers.
What have I told you about that? Say it right.
Must have been walking 68 leagues to farthings.
And sixpence, don't forget sixpence.
Perish the thought, sir. And, as you say... sixpence.
That's right.
Well, sir?
Where are all what, Willikins?
A destination. Some bloody semblance of an idea where you would like me to set you down. If you ever have the intention of having me set you down.
Well, one assumes I will at some point. But one can never tell what I'm going to do next, can one?
No, sir. One, in fact... cannot.
Willikins, you know what this road trip needs?
A destination?
No! Some Buddhist bloke said that the journey is more important than the destination. Was that journey, which is to say the band journey, was his destination? Something like that. No, what we need is some music. You can see where this is going, can't you, Willikins?
I can only shield my mind's eye against seeing it, sir.
I shall sing a pop hit, and you shall...
And I shall attempt to name the tune you are rendering vocally, yes, sir.
Now, that's boring. I shall sing a pop hit, and you shall attempt to run at the same tempo as my perfect rhythm. You know I have perfect rhythm, don't you, Willikins?
Of course you do, sir.
Also perfect pitch, and a perfectly lovely sense of humour. Anyway, if you're too far off the beat, I shall give you a sharp kick with these.
Sir, where... and when did you acquire spurs?
Never mind that. Get running.
On the English butler ran. On into the English countryside. Hours passed.
I smell like a sound. I'm lost in the crowd. And I'm hungry like the wolf. Looking.
Sir?
What's the meaning of those lyrics?
I couldn't say, sir. No more than I could tell you the meaning of Werewolves of London some hours ago. There does seem to be a distinctly wolfish bent to your song choices.
Willikins, would you say that I smell like I sound?
You mean like Axe body spray? Yes, I suppose you do.
Willikins, what the hell is that?
What the hell was that? Does Nick truly smell like he sounds? How much longer will we milk this tired, tired bit? For the answers to these questions and more, tune in next time for the adventures of Nick and Willikins! Panel discussion.
Hello, friends. You're listening to our podcast that has us in it.
Do you like coal?
I don't. I have no interest in coal of any kind, really.
Blue or otherwise.
Yes, exactly. It's us again. We're still here.
Your old friends, Matt and Al, from the Sarcastic Voyage.
Podcast.
Yes, that thing.
The doesn't go there unless it's the... You know what? No, never mind. Never mind. I'm not going to be a nitpicker. I'm not going to be that guy. I was just giving someone crap for being a nitpicker, and I will not...
What did they do this time? Well, those poor people.
No. This was the superior Lynch. This was Brian Lynch, Flunk's brother.
Oh, well, he should know better.
Who typically I think of as, you know, someone like us who's into this nerd stuff but doesn't take it so seriously that he sees, you know, he can't see the fun in front of him for some minor detail. Mm. There were some pictures from the forthcoming Captain America movie out this week, and they look great.
Yeah, they do.
And Matt, we were talking about this a little before the show. I just think they're great in general. You were pointing out specific stuff that was true to the comics, which is...
Yeah, the Hugo Weaving's Red Skull Nazi uniform is really sharp. Like, it's got the Hydra armband instead of the swastika.
Yeah, see, I just thought it looked cool, and I didn't even realize, like, I know what Hydra is, but I didn't know enough to make that connection, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Brian was pointing out that, and I'll go quickly because this does get a little deep. In Iron Man 2, we see a flashback, actually an old film of Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.'s character's father, who's sort
Walt
of a,
Disney.
Yeah, sort of a Howard Hughes, Walt Disney combination. In the 50s or 60s, whenever the hell it was supposed to be, doing his thing. And Brian was saying, well, supposedly, to sort of tie the continuity together, Howard Stark designed Captain America's sort of iconic shield, this symbol and a like technologically, you know, advanced thing and so forth. And he worked out the ages, and he's like, well, but he would have been 9 years old then. Come on, Brian. Really?
Howard Stark is older than he looks. He's drinking the Infinity Formula from S.H.I.E.L.D.'s resident wizard.
S.H.I.E.L.D. has a resident wizard, huh?
Well, for years, Nick Fury's been drinking a magic potion to make him younger.
They didn't come up with a science explanation for that, huh?
Nope.
It's magic.
Well, they might have, but I don't care. It's from S.H.I.E.L.D.'s resident wizard.
So does he have to wear, like, the standard outfit and then, like, a wizard's hat on top of it?
Yeah, exactly, with a S.H.I.E.L.D. logo.
Yeah, sorry. I can't accept that.
Well, that's why you hate comics.
No, it's not. Plus, I don't hate comics. God damn it. Walked right into that one, you jerk. I actually visited a comic shop this week. Now that Amanda's working, and I might...
You can start spending her money?
Yes, exactly. No, you know, now that we're a double income, no kids, which is one of my favorite acronyms, DINK.
Oh, yeah.
We're a DINK family. We always will be. No children. Now that there's two of us earning, that there's a little pressure off me, so I can start frivolously wasting money on things I don't need again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at various electronic gadgets I want, various movies and video games, and then, oh yeah, I haven't bought a comic in nigh on 5 years.
Yeah.
And I went and I looked on the internet, and apparently there's a comic shop right near where I work, like 2 miles from where I work. But in my experience, because you've worked in one for so long, you probably haven't gone through this. But in my experience, when you look it up on the internet and they say there's a comic shop, 75% of the time it's not there anymore.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
They tend to close down.
Yeah.
I mean, you worked in a bookstore that also sold comics, so they were kind of immune to that.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to close down soon.
Well, they did let you go. Yeah, that's
you'll regret this.
Well, they will.
You haven't seen the last of me.
I think that they
I'll have. Be in next week to pick up my books.
I still got my pull list, right? You'll regret this, but damn it, don't forget my issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Tron or whatever the hell. No, the Disney takeover is not going to affect anything at all.
Nope. Well, we have all these great Tron variants.
Which you're a fan of, I know. I think it's
Tron Ghost Rider is the most ridiculous fucking... Okay. Marvel's putting out a bunch of variant covers for their new books that are all Marvel characters dressed up like as if they were from Tron. And Tron Ghost Rider is the most ridiculous fucking thing I have ever seen.
Well, I mean, that's the most natural leap, really, because Tron, one of the famous things, like, I've never seen Tron. I will never see Tron. It's a long joke that I'm not going to explain again, but I will never see Tron. And it's not even because I don't like it. I just don't want to see it. But one of the things it's famous for, I know from playing the video game, is the light cycles, the motorcycles. Yep. And so that's an obvious fit for a Marvel character that rides a motorcycle.
So you take the light cycle, and then you take a guy in a biker costume
with a
flaming skull for head, and then you neon light that the fuck up, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And by awesome, I mean not awesome.
Well, see, now, I honestly didn't get the ironic tone from your Twitter post where you said it looked awesome. I thought you really thought it looked awesome. You just earned back that respect that you lost.
Oh, good.
Because I saw you going on Twitter, you know, about how awesome. I'm like, really? It looked really, Matt?
Yep.
I actually thought, like, all joking aside, I thought you had pretty good taste in comics. You think that's awesome, do you? But okay, I get it now. I get jokes.
That's one of those things I just like for its ridiculousness.
No, and I definitely have an appreciation for that. Mm. Comics are fun for that. And I certainly don't think all comics should be dark and serious and whatever. But I do think Disney acquiring Marvel and then creating this sort of, you know, synergizing their whatever to the point where it's like, let's put our movie stuff on our comic cover. That feels like they cross a line to me. I don't know. Like making them all Draculas or zombies or apes, like that's one thing. But actually tying it in with the thing that your parent company owns feels like a line.
It's like, you know what, though? That might be the line, but if it results in stupid stuff like this, I'm perfectly fine with it.
Well, and again, I don't want to say they shouldn't do it. I don't want to say I really care that much. But it did feel like, this is something that's never been done before. As a genuine, you know, person who's not super keen on, you know, corporations like imposing their will on creative stuff. On the other hand, you know what? I don't buy comics. I should just shut up.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, this is probably going to happen, you know, one way or another, them being owned by Disney. And from what I can tell, this is the best way to go about it because at least it's funny.
This is true. And if they're doing it for the laugh.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think there are some people who can't tell the difference.
Well, I mean, that's true.
I mean, I know Brian Lynch is not actually one of those guys. I just thought his particular Captain America thing was a bit in that direction. But the kind of people who are always making that kind of argument are going to think, now someone's going to use that as evidence that Tron is now in Marvel canon.
Tron is not in Marvel canon.
And now Jeff Bridges' technology exists.
Well, that's what's been keeping Nick Fury alive all these years.
That's where I was going with it. Exactly. Instead of instead of a potion from the Resident Wizard, it's Jeff Bridges' technology. Just had to work your catchphrase in there somehow.
Listen, we can all benefit from Jeff Bridges' technology. Never grow old, never die. Yeah,
fine with me.
Always have Jeff Bridges' technology.
TM.
patent pending.
Jeff Bridges Technology is a registered trademark of Jeff Bridges.
It's like that's the best part. He doesn't even have a claim on it anymore.
Well, I figure it's like the George Foreman grill. Like, he didn't invent it, but he put his name on it.
I would totally buy the Jeff Bridges grill.
I'm not sure that I would. Jeff Bridges has had a long and a pretty varied career. He's been in a lot of good things. He's got pretty good range. But, you know, like everyone else, he is the dude to me.
Yep.
Because that's the best thing that he ever did. And I mean, I remember as a kid, I loved the movie Starman. I thought that was great. I'm trying to think of, I know there was other stuff when I was a kid, but I mean, and then like into the first Iron Man movie, that was great. And
that was actually the sticking point for Iron Man with me.
Yeah. It was hard not to see the dude. I tried my best.
But I mean, when that giant robot starts stomping around.
Yeah.
And out of his voice cut.
I've got a beverage here, Tony. Yeah, it was a bit difficult. Really tied the room together, that arc reactor. Yeah, it was a little rough. But for me, because he looked like a former boss of mine who was a bit evil, that helped. Helped me villainize him a little because I could relate to someone who had wronged me in the past.
Well, he did have a very villainous beard.
This is true. Is there an Iron Man Tron cover?
Yes, there is.
I didn't see them all. So very well. But how does
I got a link so we can put them in the show notes.
Absolutely. What's weird to me, like getting back to that, DC is owned by Warner Brothers. And I'm not going to get into a DC's better than Marvel. Marvel's better than DC. I don't care. And please just shut up. Like anyone who has an opinion on that, because shut up. They're both about the same in different ways. But anyway, what I thought of was 10 years ago, were there DC variant covers for The Matrix? Because The Matrix is essentially Tron, again. I assume. I haven't seen Tron. But
well, I mean, 10 years ago, everything looked like The Matrix, so it doesn't really matter.
But I'm picturing, Morpheus popping up on a Batman cover for no reason, and, Neo, hanging out with Wonder Woman, or I don't fucking know. That would be the closest comparison.
That would bother, but if they did variants where the characters were dressed, actually, you know what? No, that wouldn't be great, because the costuming in The Matrix is not as
black leather.
Exactly. It's not. We were just getting over the black leather thing.
Yeah, this is a good point. Although this neatly brings us to some other pictures that came out this week.
Oh yes,
in the other direction. Now I will say, Marvel versus DC. I don't want to get into it. Marvel versus DC in the movies. Fucking DC, get your shit together. Because apart from the Batman movies and arguably the Superman movie, which not a lot of people liked, that's it. That's all they've managed to do. Marvel just, they've had a couple of clunkers, but overall,
Yeah, I mean, most of their stuff's been good.
Yeah, the first two Spider-Man movies, the first two X-Men movies. I liked both the Hulk movies, but they weren't as good.
No, I can understand people's problems with the Hulk movies.
But the two Iron Man movies, Avengers is shaking up to be good. Blade, I heard, was good, in a, second tier kind of, not as great as Spider-Man or Iron Man, but still quite good.
I enjoy Blade.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but from what I hear, it's more like a B movie.
I mean, it certainly doesn't look like a superhero movie.
Right. But it is based on a Marvel property, and it was apparently adapted very faithfully, which is really all you ask.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good idea. If it's a crappy idea, then, make it better. And Wolverine 2 is apparently looking to be pretty decent, because they got a major big name
Who was it?
Director.
Was it Darren Aronofsky?
Yep.
Wow.
He's apparently signed to do X-Men Origins Wolverine 2.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, their track record has been pretty good. DC, apart from the Batman movies, and they've made some announcements about the third one, which sound kind of fun, too. But apart from that, and like I say, arguably Bryan Singer's Superman Returns, I liked it. A lot of people didn't.
No, I liked it.
But it wasn't as good as it should have been.
No.
A Superman movie should be huge and not just going over the same ground we've gone over several times before. But
could we please stop with the Superman's origin, please?
Well, there's also that. Which
we all know. Everyone knows Superman's origin.
Yes. The test for me, if your mainstream average person knows something, is moms.
Mm-hmm.
If I asked my mom what's Superman's deal, she could tell me, he came from the planet Krypton and he was raised as a human and he's disguised as Clark Kent. Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But Superman has had a really rough time. They had those movies that started out good and got bad, from the 70s into the 80s.
Yeah.
Then there was a lull. Then there are these pictures that came out this week in the 90s. And Kevin Smith has told this story before about when he was approached to take a whack at a draft.
Yeah.
And the whole he tells the story really well.
You don't need us to re.
True. But it's on An Evening with Kevin Smith. I'm sure he's told it on his podcast. You listen to him, Matt. I don't. Does he?
Yeah.
I assume.
I don't remember.
It's a great story, though. I mean, for all my problems with Kevin Smith, that is truly a great, I came to Hollywood and look how crazy it is here story.
Yeah.
Giant spider in the third act and so on. But during that time, or around that time, Tim Burton was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And really Tim Burtoned it up. And we will provide this link for you because, wow.
See, the thing is, I look at it and I don't think Tim Burton when I see that. I don't know what I think, but I certainly don't think Tim Burton.
I do. If you think of Tim Burton's Batman is to the comic, as this is to Superman, it's about right. Because he took some weird liberties with Batman. I got to give his Batman credit. Looking back now, it's kind of painful to me. But at the time, there were no superhero movies, apart from Richard Donner's first couple of Superman movies.
Right.
There were no superhero movies that kind of took the subject matter any kind of seriously. It was kind of made for kids. They weren't big budget blockbusters. That's tough, big budget blockbusters. But, you know, and Batman was actually dark. I mean, there's a lot of problems with it looking back. But in 1989, that was like the middle step we needed to get from Adam West Batman to, like, Batman Begins Batman. Like,
yeah.
You need that missing link to make that leap. But Tim Burton did take a lot of liberties. He did a lot of weird stuff. At one point, he wanted to make Prince Batman. Did you know that?
What?
Yes. Prince wanted to play Batman.
Tim Burton. Well, you know what? Prince wants a lot of things. Well, and the world is a better place if he doesn't have them.
And oddly enough, Kevin Smith has some fun stories about Prince as well. Also in An Evening with Kevin Smith. But in any case, he wanted to, very briefly, like, I don't think this was taken super seriously, but apparently very briefly, Tim Burton actually considered this. And the studio said, no, 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 no. So he said, fine, I'll let him do the soundtrack. That's why it's like, really? The Prince did this? Okay. It was like his consolation prize.
Yeah. Huh.
So, and that might all be apocryphal, but that's what I've read. Tim Burton just had some weird ideas, and this Superman stuff is no exception. It looks like that weird take on, what was it, Electric Superman for a while there?
Yeah, like...
Only somehow even more 90s than that.
I don't know how to... You know what? It's like they wrapped him in
shit?
They wrapped him in 1990s era hologram covers.
Ugh. It looks like they made a Tron variant of him. And then dropped him off a 10-story building in Vegas. Is that about cover it?
I think that's about right.
Very well. But yeah, you got to check these out if you haven't seen them already. We'll put those in the show notes.
I mean, the costume's bad enough, but then you stuff Nicolas Cage into it.
Oh yeah, Nicolas Cage was going to be... That's the other thing. Was going to be,
with his, like, 90s mullet.
Now, I think... And I don't have the information right in front of me. I'm pretty sure Tim Burton, Nicolas Cage, and whoever other the big heavy hitters were at the time got paid separate cuts of something like $20 million for this project that never got off the ground. But however their contracts work, they still got paid for it.
Yeah.
I'm relatively sure Nicolas Cage has been paid to play Superman. Or at least now you can look back and say someone had the good sense to pay him millions of dollars not to play Superman.
Probably for the best.
Dodged a speeding bullet there.
Yeah.
Now, as it happens, we're getting really good at these segues. As it happens, we actually have an audio message here. Not a voicemail, but an audio attachment to an email from one of the major players in Tim Burton's Batman. This came as a great shock to me, but the email address checks out. It's not from one of our goofy friends. It actually is from... Allegedly from this person. And why would they say they were if they're not?
Exactly. And checking the email address is the extent of research we do when verifying this sort of thing.
I say, well, it's not from Kevin Lynch at blahblahblah.com or whatever. So it must be, hey, it's on the up and up. No, they at least went to the trouble of creating their own unique email address, which dedication to a bit, if nothing else. But seriously, who would claim to be this guy who was not? Let's listen to this now.
I can think of one person.
This is our voicemail from star of stage and screen, Jack Nicholson.
Hi, Alan, Matt. This is Jack Nicholson. On a dare from Dennis Hopper before he died, I went up to the iTunes and downloaded all the podcasts they had on it and listened to them one by one until I came across yours. I figure that your podcast will reach enough people that I can get this message out to. I've heard a lot about the online message boards and the Twitters that people are using these days to make a fool out of me and say that my Joker performance was not as good as Heath Ledger's Joker performance. Well, you know, I saw Heath Ledger's performance, and that is no Joker I've ever seen in the comic books. And anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, between him and me, his performance and my performance, you know, there's only one question that needs to be answered. Which one of us is alive today? Is Heath Ledger alive? I don't fucking think so. Am I, Jack Nicholson, alive? Goddamn right I am. So that means I win. My performance as Joker was the best performance as Joker. So I just wanted to clear that up, and hopefully you will take this message of mine to the nerd community online, so they can hear it from the Joker himself. Yeah.
Well, Jack Nicholson, apparently.
The always classy Jack Nicholson.
You know, and then he asked that question, "Who am I still alive?" And I think we've made it pretty clear we don't know. He could be dead for all we know.
He looks dead.
I haven't seen him in a while. There's always those pictures of him at basketball games. Like, you know, we're not sports guys. We cop to that. But I've seen the pictures of him, like, I think at Laker games. And he's just always there.
That could easily be a propped up corpse, Weekend at Bernie's style.
That could be. Of course, we got this earlier in the week, or possibly last week, because when we did the horror show, we skipped some stuff.
Yeah.
That wasn't, you know, on topic.
Mm-hmm.
Or theme. Which one are we not doing? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I hey, Matt, we got an email from a celebrity. Like, what? And he went and checked. He's like, oh, Christian Slater. Matt, you obviously missed when Christian Slater said, look, I'm sorry. I'm not doing Jack Nicholson anymore. Now I'm imitating Harrison Ford. He actually said that. Really? You're not still not being you, huh?
Hell of an actor, that Christian Slater. Hell of an actor.
Yeah, but I think we've made it pretty clear. We don't know if he's dead or not.
No.
May he rest in possible peace. As far as Joker performances go, I've now gone on the record as my opinion on Burton's Batman. So, and that includes the Joker.
I like both. I like the Burton Batman stuff, and I like the new stuff.
Here's the thing, Tim Burton's Batman. Like, I don't hate it. It made a huge impact on me at the time. That's one of the movies that really made me take nerd stuff. Like, hey, yeah, this is an okay life choice. I could wear Batman shirts all the time. That's my wardrobe sorted out. It really did have a big impact on my dorky life. But I stopped wearing Metallica t-shirts and started wearing Batman t-shirts. It was a big turning point for me. But really, that movie's so long without a lot of stuff happening. And the Joker's only got green hair and white face for maybe 5 minutes.
Well, that's true.
Jack did that thing that actors did back when superhero movies were that way, where I want them to see my face, not, you know.
Like how Gene Hackman didn't want to shave his head to play Lex Luthor. Yeah,
come on, can he put on a wig? Ugh, really? Or like in that shitty Captain America movie where the Red Skull got plastic surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yeah. But, Heath Ledger was better. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, sorry.
Just was. Mark Hamill, of course, being the best.
Well, yes.
But, you know, including on-screen, visual, whatever.
The best of all possible Jokers.
Yes. He keeps retiring. And then, thankfully, not.
No. Mark Hamill, don't retire from being the Joker.
Yeah, I do like the story, and we may have covered this before, I don't remember, where he said, no, that's it. Arkham Asylum was great. That video game is awesome. I'm going out on a high note. I'm not doing anything more after this. And then...
Well...
And then they came up with the sequel to Arkham Asylum. Was it Arkham City?
Yes.
And he's like, well, that's a really great script. All right, this is really it.
Seriously, though, why do you have to retire from being the Joker? There will always be a need for the Joker.
Maybe you could just put it out there. Like, I think he doesn't want to be cheapen it. I think he doesn't want to become one of those guys who's still doing it. Just, you know, like, say what you will about Adam West Batman. It was of a certain, you know, like the quality of writing on that show was exactly what it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had only played Batman in the show and then stopped when it was over, I think he would have a little more dignity because it was still campy, but it was, you know, it had some quality to it. But then when he was in like Legends of the Superheroes and like the shitty Hanna-Barbera cartoon, and just like each time he came back it was a little less good. Like, you should have gone out on top. You should have gone out when the show went off the air. But he kept wanting to be Batman.
Uncle Batman.
Yeah. You know, Matt, this was not planned. This is a late breaking thing, and I swear to Christ, this was not staged. I'm looking at our inbox now and it's got today's date on it. This came as we started recording. There is now another attachment, a sound file attachment in our box from new celebrity.
Oh God.
Let's have a listen to this. This will be my first time listening to this without any screening. So let's
Hello, all. I'm out of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast. This is Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm a big fan of your show. But I'm quite distressed to hear of the number of references you guys make to Arrested Development against the number of references you make to my show, Seinfeld. You do realize it was a big hit on NBC for 9 years, and it helped define an era. But for the last 10 years, all I've heard is Curb Your Enthusiasm this and Curb Your Enthusiasm that. Do you even realize how much pussy Larry David gets because of Curb Your Enthusiasm? Well, it's not even a fraction of what I used to get at Seinfeld. And you guys know how big a fan I am of Superman. Well, I'm even a bigger fan of pussy. So from you guys, I'm hoping I'll hear in the future a lot more references to Seinfeld. I'll help you out. You guys can start off with a Harold Newman every once in a while. Or even a, you never double dip the chip. Or a, I don't want to be a pirate. Or a, these pretzels are making me thirsty. You ever notice how many comedians are making a comeback these days? Well, that's what I want to do. And I've selected your podcast to help me do it. Everyone is using the internet these days, and I'm hoping that I can use it to become a star once again. So I'm hoping you guys can help me out on this. Once again, this is Jerry Seinfeld.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch who that was. Was that Snagglepuss? That really did just come in, and that's really the first time we've heard that. And once again, the email address is right. I'm looking at it right now, and it is Jerry Seinfeld comeback at yada yada yada. Wow. What a star-studded show we're having today.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Well, Jerry, we are big fans. I mean, we've yes. talked about that before. We are, but I thought your big comeback was B-movie. I mean, what's
yeah,
up with that?
There?
Really, what's up with that?
What's the deal?
Who are these people?
Please don't get Michael Richards to call us.
Look, we skirt that line enough already as it is. We're not trying to, but, you know, it happens sometimes. All right. I hadn't really intended to get to the mail yet, but there is, looking at our mailbox,
it is jam-packed full.
There are close to 20 emails. Well, there are 20 emails in here.
Four lights.
Four of them. Yes, four. Are you torturing me? Stop trying to torture me.
Don't tell me what to do.
All right. Four of these are from different people. The other 16 are from Flonk. Flonk, you've done so well through the entirety of 2010. We thought we taught you. Like, you no longer are pissing on the rug. We thought we'd sorted this out. Cluster Flonk, the original Cluster Flonk last year, was our way of saying, you know, go ahead, bring it, Lynch. We can handle you.
And, it's like...
No, apparently not.
It's like you were good all year, and then we came home, and the house was just soaked in piss.
Yep, and you chewed up the couch, and you, like, got into the chocolate, and just...
Ate all of my headphones.
Yeah. We need to whack you on the nose with a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna make a command decision here, and this affects everyone, I'm sorry to say. We have a line in our closing bumper that you can email us, podcast@algar.com. Response is guaranteed. We're taking that out.
Yeah.
Henceforth.
Way to ruin it.
Listen, we love mail. We love hearing from you guys. We really enjoy. There's quite a few of you who write in on a regular basis that we love hearing from. But if people are going to abuse the privileges, we're going to have to draw a line somewhere.
The Sarcastic Voyage mailbox is a privilege, not a right.
Right.
And until you prove that you can be responsible with that privilege, we're taking it away.
Listen, we love hearing from you. We love getting emails at podcast@algar.com. We love getting calls at our voicemail, 206-973-3982. But we now reserve the right to not guarantee you a response because this may happen.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we got a show to do. We try to talk to guests. We try to talk to each other. We try to talk about things. We don't want one person taking over the show. There's a couple of people in particular I definitely don't want taking over the show. but this is unacceptable. So let's just blow through these really quickly.
All right.
We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because that's the whole point of not getting a lot of emails from the same person. We don't want to, you know, but let's go through these. First one says, Ryan Seacrest should produce an !! Reality show about Matt Robotham. It will be called Rockin' with Robotham, LOL. Uh-huh. Anything to say about that one?
Not even I would watch that.
Next one. Did you love my 50 complimentary tweets this week? You replied twice to Ed Casey, but not me. Be fair, Algar. Thank you. All right. Next one is, thanks for the Star Trek update on Twitter, Algar. You look super sexy yesterday. By the way, my golden doodle puppy says hi. Woof.
There's, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Next one is, I love the way podcaster Ron Algar Watt's red hair shines as he rustles through the newspaper. He's a ravishing redheaded reporter. Next one.
Unpleasant.
Misery is a classic rom-com. Actress Kathy Bates really knows how to sweep a man off his feet. LOL! Exclamation.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Next one.
But not in a good way where I'm encouraging you.
No. I had a dream that Matt Robotham got a flat tire. I drove by and helped him change it. He gave me a kiss on the cheek. LOL! Exclamation point. Did that happen, Matt? I'm just blowing through this, so I'm not, like, I'm in read what's going on here mode, and I, you know.
Oh, sure. I'm always driving a car. Have you ever seen me drive a car? No.
All the time calling in an auto. Next one. I love your infectious laugh, MR. Your happiness means a lot to me. That's why I compliment you every weekday. God bless you. Oh, that's a feather in your cap.
Yeah. I'll hold on to that one.
Yeah. Next one is... Podcaster Ron Algar Watt looked very, quote, dapper, unquote, in his Decepticon t-shirt. He's quite a handsome fella! Exclamation point.
It's horrible.
Next one. With all due respect, you look svelte. Svelte. That's svelte. In your Green Lantern t-shirt yesterday. That's a sincere compliment, Matt. Honest.
Ugh.
Looking svelte there, buddy.
Yeah. Well, that's clearly a lie.
Next one. Did you like Judd Apatow's comedy Knocked Up? In my opinion, Saw 4 is the funniest movie ever made.
Okay, then.
I think I might start to get where he's going with this, maybe, but I'm going to need another 7 or 8 of these to really be sure. Let's see. It's been 45 episodes since Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham last had me on their show. I don't know the real reason, quote-unquote, why. I'm truly sorry if I offended them. Please forgive me, RW.
You really don't know why, huh, Flonk?
If you got a phone that worked. Next one. Be grateful to all Sarcastic Voyage listeners, including myself on Twitter, Algar. You don't choose the Sarcastic Voyage audience. They choose you. Boy, is that true. ow, my tongue. This is my final email, SV. It's been an emotional roller coaster the past 2 minutes. I'll miss you. Have a nice life. Goodbye. And then the next one says, let's see here. Great job announcing this morning. Please tell Alan Matt their banter makes my mornings fly by. Oh, this is Dear Dave. I see. He got around it by writing to Dave. Go ask your father. Thank you to Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham for 1.5 hours of audio entertainment this week. You're a pretty pair of prolific podcasters. All right. That is it. There's another one from him that is not part of this mess. Do we need to explain this joke? Do we want to explain this joke?
No.
I think we shouldn't give him the satisfaction.
Satisfaction? Yeah, no. I think we're good.
If you haven't kept up with our show, you might not have the context for this. Good. Just know that Flonk is insane and he's ruined it for the rest of you.
If you can take anything away from this, take that.
So going forward, we will honestly try to answer all of your emails. We will only make a judgment call when we feel it's appropriate. But we no longer guarantee a response. That's just how it goes. And if you don't like this policy, blame Flonk. Flonk2 at Twitter. in case you want to direct anything specifically at him. We got one more email from him that was before this madness. God damn it, Adrian. I wrote a Sarcastic Voyage fanfiction comic long before you started your little NNS Twitter story. You made a powerful enemy today, Bucknifsky. Your pal Flonk. P.S. I've also written fanfiction comics for Arrested Development, Star Trek Next Gen, and Doctor Who. And I've had a pitch for Star Trek copyright infringement kicking around in my head for years. I'm the coolest kid in school. I think we've proven that you're not that.
Yeah.
But that does remind me, we do have a contest in the works here, a fan fiction contest. Writing any kind of fan fiction you want regarding characters we have on the show. I'd like to expand that a little, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people have chimed in. Ooh, I wrote today Vishal or somebody was talking about Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Ashwin City wrote a Batman one. You know what? If you've written any fan fiction before, send that in too.
We'd like to read it.
Doesn't have anything to do with any of us. Doesn't matter. Go ahead and send it in. Because first of all, no one's entered the contest yet. But secondly, I love reading fanfic.
Yes.
And if enough of you enter, maybe I will dig up my Star Trek Twin Peaks thing. No, I won't.
Still try to find mine.
Or maybe I'll write a new... Maybe we can write a new one. Like,
oh, yeah, that would work really well.
Matt and I enjoy writing stuff together, so maybe we can come up with a horrible fanfic. The time Clint Cardoza met Mal or something.
Oh, God.
No, Mal doesn't deserve that.
Nobody deserves that. Except Flonk.
And Louisa Hodge.
No one's really sure why she deserves it, but here we are.
All right. But yeah, really, any kind of fan fiction at all that you want to send us, again, except Slash. Again, we're still drawing the line there. Slash will be discarded. But anything else, fair game. Just have fun with it. Format doesn't matter. If you want to write it in prose or in script form, if you want to perform it, however you want to do it, I want to celebrate the ridiculousness that is fan fiction in all its forms.
Yes.
So let's see what you guys can come up with. Again, not Slash. I can't say that enough times.
No. With these Unless people, it's really hot.
Yeah, well, no, even then. Even then, we'll just save it for ourselves. We said that before.
Yes.
It's not entered in the contest. It's just for us. All right. Next question comes from our pal from Australia, Dan. And he writes, Dear Al, Matt, and theoretical guest, if Garrick from Star Trek Deep Space Nine and Chuck, I think from the show Chuck, or possibly Chuck Metcalf, who knows, have taught us anything, it's that if you were a spy, then you need to hide behind a simple job. If you were a spy, what job would you want to have as your cover? Your simple tailor, Dan from Australia. I actually would love to do the double fake out mindfuck thing of being a spy. Because no one would believe that I'm a spy. And then I would actually really be a spy.
Yep.
Because people always say, oh, well, that's the deadpan guy. If he's saying something, it's clearly just a joke.
Yep.
I just can't tell because, you know, he's always so emotional.
Oh, yeah. I was out spying yesterday, and that was pretty good.
Sure you were, Al. So that would be my cover, is actually being a spy. Matt, I think at this point, any job would be a good cover.
Yeah, that would be nice. What pays well? Can I have a job that pays me? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Matt and his daily job of sitting on the couch watching TV.
Applying for jobs. That'll be your job. And if that was your job, you'd be so
Each one
awesome.
Of these resumes is rigged to self-destruct.
Oh, God. Don't tell me that resumes can self-destruct.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh,
man. Man. Yeah, I usually don't like to go into too much detail about my job. For one thing, it's boring. But for another, you know, there is a measure of confidentiality to me handling people's resumes all day. But yesterday... There was a name. I get names every now and then. You know, when you see hundreds of names a day, sometimes they're going to be funny. What was it? It was Dong Wang. But he'd given himself an anglicized name, an Americanized name. And he chose Peter. So it was Dong, parentheses, Peter, Wang.
Oh.
Dude, do you get the point? The point of making, you know, is to blend in, to, like, make an Americanized name to you know. That's what you're not getting this, are you?
Plus, all of those are penis names.
Well, yes, that was sort of what I was getting at. Yes, but if that ended up being any of our mystery listeners from China, Dong Peter Wang, try harder, please.
Dong Peter Wang Dick,
the penis. All right. Next one comes from our pal Laura from the Girls with Glasses podcast, and she writes. Dear fellows of Sarcastic Voyage, a friend and I recently had a bout via Facebook the other day concerning chocolate. She said that since it comes from a bean, it's a vegetable. I pointed out that both cotton and tobacco come from plants as well, but they're not considered vegetables. Third friend piped in and mentioned that if you put a cell phone in your head, it does not in fact make it a hat. What say you? Also, what is your favorite odd fruit? I'm a fan of the kiwi. Sincerely, Laura. I really wish you hadn't put that what say you in there. I know you like the flowery language, Laura, and I do usually appreciate that. But what say you, unfortunately, has been ruined forever by noted dickbag Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah.
When he goes to the phone on his radio show, which I don't even know if exists anymore. What say you? Terrible. Dick. But that said, my old pal Famous Mark, take a drink. He was in one of those... The smart kids are making things out of toilet paper rolls things. Did you guys have that? It's like
Is that a thing?
It's like Olympics of the Mind or Odyssey of the Mind or something like that. It's a thing where they give you like basically like a stack of MacGyver crap, like toilet paper rolls and toothpicks and a couple other things. And you have to like make an egg travel egg. Across the table without breaking it. It's for the smart kids. It's for the, I was never in it.
No,
but you know, it's one of those, let's,
I was in a different kind of special class.
But one of the things they did was they gave them a bunch of strange objects. It was almost like Whose Line. They give you a bunch of weird props and say, what is it? And you're supposed to use your creativity and your engineering knowledge to say, oh, well, look, this is a device for doing this. Or this is whatever. And Mark apparently was either bored with it or whatever and decided everything there was a hat. And so they'd always get to him, and he was always the last one. And he, like, you know, this could be a device for conveying a blah, blah, blah. This could be convection currents, blah, blah, blah. Could be a hat. So now that Darren's theorem has been proposed, I would say all things can be hats, except dogs. Well,
Amanda will argue dramatically with you about what constitutes a hat.
Well, dogs are not hats. But beyond that, anything you can put on your head is definitely a hat. As far as the chocolate vegetable, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think so. No.
Well, because then that would also make coffee a vegetable.
Yeah. Now we're getting into – and then we're getting into areas I'm uncomfortable with.
Are you?
Liquid vegetables. Ridiculous.
You know, Matt, you could have had a V8.
No one could have a V8.
Very well. As far as the odd fruit thing, this is one of those things, you know, as a kid in the 80s, when candy was flavored like cherry and lime and grape and that was it, suddenly there was this thing like in the early 90s where it was like kiwi, manga, guava, passion fruit, and it was like, fucking flavosyntho. So I got a thing against the weird fruits. I like an orange and an apple. Pear, maybe. Fuck strange fruits. Just fuck them.
And, of course, I don't eat fruit.
No, of course not, because you enjoy scurvy.
Yes.
Scurvy-ridden celebrity, Matt Robotham.
Scurvy enthusiast about town.
All right, next question is entitled, and carrot and 4 gallons of water. Cover it with white paper and then there's an attachment that apparently is trying to sell us Viagra. I just like the fact that it starts with and carrot.
Someone was writing of us about carrot.
And carrot. Like, starting a sentence with and is pretty bold. It's like the Bible does that sometimes. Like, a sentence does not start with and. You need an idea before and.
Nope. And carrot.
You weren't watching Schoolhouse Rock, were you? You don't really understand what the function of a conjunction is. All right. Next question comes from Mike X. Subject.
From Australia?
No, he's not from Australia. I think he's starting to, he's not playing along with that joke anymore, so I fear it might be bugging him.
Ah.
And since I want to practice what I preach after the whole donut thing, we'll let it go. The subject is jealous of head trauma victims. Hey, I'm Matt, impossible guest. I recently got over a migraine that lasted 2.5 weeks. And I can't express enough just how hard it sucked. Have you guys ever had a really bad headache? Especially one that lasted for a prolonged period of time. Also, I've heard that head transplants are actually a medically viable procedure. Is this something I should consider? Should I maybe wait a while before making any decisions that big? Yours in pain, Mike. P.S. Matt, do you pronounce it migraine or migraine in Canada? Just curious.
It's migraine.
Ah, very well. I think that's the English thing. And you guys do choose, you pick and choose very strange British things. Like,
well, we have to combat our being influenced by Britain with our being influenced by America.
Right.
It's difficult.
As far as the headache thing goes, I had horrible, horrible sinus things for like the first 25 years of my life. And then I discovered Claritin and I never had a headache again. So not funny, but just, your head doesn't have to throb from March to October. Nice.
Wow.
Amazing. Then I moved here and I didn't even need the drugs. So there was that. But no, nothing.
So really, it was Maryland that was hurting.
Well, that's about right. But sorry, no punchline there.
I get headaches fairly regularly, but I mean, they usually just last, you know, a day.
Is that Those don't happen to line up when I'm stabbing the little doll of you, is it? I mean,
well, I don't know. You never tell me when you're stabbing the little doll of me.
Well, can you feel this now?
Ah. See, okay, that explains a lot, actually.
Bit of a delay there because of the international border. Voodoo has to go through customs, apparently. All right. We got a couple of voicemails.
Oh, and the head transplant thing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sorry about that.
From what I know of that, it's not so much a head transplant as it is a body transplant.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you are in your head, right? I mean,
yeah.
Actually, Amanda argues that your soul is in your sternum. That's
really?
What she thinks it actually exists. Whereas I believe there's no such thing and she's being stupid, but we won't get into that here.
She believes that the soul is in the sternum, whereas I believe that that's stupid.
Yes, that's...
And she's stupid for thinking it.
You got it. You got it exactly.
I mean, when it comes right down to it, your brain is in your head, so if you transplant it, you're basically transplanting it to either another body or to the garbage.
Garbage.
Depending on what you're doing with it.
See, what I think, you could transplant your head to another body, mm-hmm. but then you transplant your brain to that head.
Oh, that would work.
That way, new body. Same brain.
Yep, we have head transplants. Do we have brain transplants?
Do we have head transplants?
I don't know.
I think that might be made up. I mean, it was in that movie, that MST movie, the head that couldn't die, or possibly the brain that couldn't die.
Mm.
That movie couldn't make up its mind what it was called.
Well, yeah, but they didn't attach that head to anything. They just left it in the pan.
That's true. But they were trying to put it on a new body, and he was skeevily checking out, like, hot 60s-looking girls to put her head on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's see. We got a few voicemails to address here.
All right.
Now that we have our new policy of picking and choosing what we answer, though, I'm not Scott White. I'm sorry. I'm not going to play the 17 voicemails that you left me. I appreciate you calling in when you have thoughts about the show, but I'm going to assume that not all of them were intended for the show. So I'm just going to pick one and play it here for us now.
Hey, guys. Scott. Here's a question for everyone. Business cards, were they originally the, let's rephrase that, even though I didn't say it. Were business cards the original trading card game? Discuss.
No.
Were business cards the original trading card game?
That's not actually a very good question, Scott.
No.
No, they were not.
Oh, my God.
What?
It's bone.
See that? That's bone.
All right. It even has a watermark.
Next one comes from the other Scott, Sioko.
Hello. Yes, this is Jules calling on behalf of Mel's Largo Financial Institution. I'm calling in the hopes of getting in contact with a Matthew Robotham. Mr. Robotham, sir, I'm seeing several delinquent payments on your account. It appears back in March of 2001, you had taken out a loan in the interest of buying, and I quote, according to my notes here, an oversized Pokemon ball to double as a love nest. Mr. Robotham, we take delinquent charges very seriously here in Mills Largo. If you could get a hold of us at our corporate number so we can arrange an optional payment plan for you, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm not sure why I thought that was Sioko. That's obviously not Sioko.
I'm so sick of this bullshit. I returned that love nest.
I should make a side note here. I'm not getting into that whole pokey thing because that's the boo. No. I cannot take anyone seriously who says seriously. That's just a problem inherent in the
way you speak there. Oh, good. A phone call from the Homestar Runner.
He's a terrific athlete.
Hey, Matt. This is your buddy Homestar. Just wanted to tell you, you forgot to pay for that thing you bought. Okay, bye.
All right. Next one comes from our old pal Jesse.
Hang up.
Also from the girls' classes. So check that out.
Hello, boys. Here is a reprise of the song that I sang for David on his voicemail on his birthday. It goes a little something like this. B-I-T-E-M-Y-A-S-S, don't bite my ass. It's the thing that everybody's doing. It's the thing that everybody's chewing. You have very nice teeth. Why don't you bite me with a B-N-I-A-T-E-M-Y? Bite my ass for free. or pay a dime.
Jesse, I'd just like to go on the record, if I haven't lately, saying I love you.
I love you too, Jesse.
That was awesome. I'm actually thinking the horrible logos guy who gave us a great little band logo sketched on a notebook version of the logo for our podcast, our other podcast, the Star Trek podcast, now is doing horrible jingles.
Oh, God.
Like the $5 was for a horrible logo. Now he's doing $10 horrible jingles. I think Tidro's gotten one already, but I haven't heard it yet. I'm thinking if I can scrounge up $10, I'd love to give that a try. Although now that I know Jesse not only can sing, but also can apparently write music.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get her to do us a jingle, because that's all. Or maybe we'll just use that one.
Yeah, I think that would be best.
Throw her a couple of bucks for permission to use the Bite My Ass song. Because that is awesome. Really, what more can one say about that?
No one can top that. No. I dare you to try.
Yeah. One thing I did, that's all we have, as far as mail and voicemail goes, except for the ones that I skipped, because as I say, we now reserve that right.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's just Scott White saying, oh, I was listening to number 84, Blue. Thanks. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate that. Something I wanted to mention, one of our friends, friends of the show, someone who's done some awesome work for us before, Lynn. She did the Vampire Stalin cover, which maybe aren't my favorite cover we've ever had.
It's a pretty sharp cover.
Between that and Corwin's Human Gallagher, those two are my absolute. I mean, we've had some awesome ones, and I love quite a few of. I love all of them, but I mean, you know, quite a few of the original ideas.
They're like my children. Yeah, I love them all.
But you know, I hate to pick favorites, but really, those are my favorites. Mm-hmm. But Lynn, in particular, just. When we throw her an idea for some really oddball thing, she picks it up and runs with it in a way that really makes me happy. She started a new blog. This thing is, and I don't just say this because she's a friend and because she's done good work for us. I would think this if I'd never heard of her before. Honestly, I seriously mean this. It's a new blog. She's not pleased with the way she lives her life. She is, by her own admission, a bit of a slob. Her house is just in horrible shape, and there's just food and clutter everywhere, and she feels like she doesn't exercise enough, and so on and so on. And so rather than wallowing and complaining, you know, on the internet about it, she's decided to shame herself into a better life. She's started a blog, and with her sense of design, with her visual sense, there's a lot of pictures, there's a lot of, you know, like really just stark things that jump out at you because she understands how to get your attention visually. Here is the horror that is my life. I want to put this all out there in public so that I can become a better person. I think this is an awesome idea. I don't think I've seen the internet used quite this way before. This is a really cool thing. And anyone who finds this even mildly interesting should check it out, because I think it's going to work better the more people look at it and the more people that participate and tell her, oh my God, what is that in your fridge? But really, I admire her for using it in a way, like to do some good.
Mm-hmm.
To say, I'm not happy with the way things are. I want to use the power of shame to make my life better.
Power of shame is a curious thing.
That actually segues nicely into the other thing I wanted to say.
We're getting amazing at this.
Look at this. This is from one topic to the other. The link, by the way, to Lynn's new blog is in the show notes. And you should definitely check that out. The Back to the Future thing. The game that, once again, take a drink, Famous Marks Company, he's not actually involved with this game, the Back to the Future point-and-click game. They've now revealed that it is, in fact, a point-and-click adventure like we've come to expect from them, which is good. They were a little secretive about it.
Yes.
I am led to understand that Jurassic Park, the game that he is working on, may or may not be a point-and-click. They haven't announced that yet.
Right.
But he told me, do not be surprised if maybe they try something a little different with that. So I won't be. But Back to the Future apparently is a classic point-and-click game. The guy they got to do the voice of Marty, they released this week or last week, is amazing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how much he sounds like 1980s Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, and Michael J. Fox, you know, not in the best of shape right now because of his Parkinson's, getting a little older also. But he was nice enough to say, look, I'm not going to do the voice, but you can have my likeness. You can make Marty look like me, which is good because sometimes in games, that, you know, one actor is kind of a jerk and decides, no, you can't. And then, like, that doesn't look like him. Like, the Godfather game, which I actually liked, was like GTA 1945, had all the actors and all, except Al Pacino.
Well, he was doing Scarface, I think.
Which at first was like, oh, really? He's going to be the one jerk? But no, it's because he had the conflicting thing. It just sucks because the whole cast is there.
Yeah, like, it's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the last things Brando did before he died, but he managed to get some voice stuff done. And Robert Duvall and the guy who played
Shelley
Sonny.
Duvall.
No, not Shelley Duvall. It wasn't a monster game. It was a mob game. James Caan. Just all those guys. All those guys were in it, except for Al Pacino. I was like, oh, but that's the main guy.
Yeah.
If they make part two, what the hell? But thankfully, this has Christopher Lloyd actually doing the voice of Doc. And then this kid that they found, who, as you say, sounds exactly like
Marty
McFly.
It's really weird.
It's fantastic. And it's one of those things. This happened with the guy, Dominic Armato, who plays Guybrush Threepwood in the Monkey Island games. Mm. He's just a huge fan. And he auditioned not as a professional, but just as an enthusiast. And he was the best of the bunch because of his energy and because just he sounds perfect for the character.
Yeah.
They hired him. And it's great hearing Christopher Lloyd, and we'll provide a link to this as well. Christopher Lloyd in the behind the scenes stuff is like, I if they hadn't told me, I would have thought Michael was right there with me. It was incredible.
I'm really looking forward to this game.
Yeah, me too. The story sounds fun. The game sounds great. And,
the visuals look really cool. Like, yeah, I like the sort of animated versions of Marty and Doc that we've seen so far.
It looks, and it's hard to be objective because, you know, one of my good, great friends of many years works for this company, but at least now he's not working on it, so I can be a little more objective.
Yeah.
But really, point and click, my favorite kind of game. Back to the Future, one of my favorite movies. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of time travelers.
Time travelers.
Thank you. there's this thing, and this might be old by the time. It's an oldie where I come from.
But your kids are going to love it.
There's this story going around now, and it's already getting a little old, so in a week it'll be older. But
and now it's even older.
And now it's older still. what is this, a Charlie Chaplin film?
Oh, yeah.
Where someone thinks someone's talking on a cell phone in the background. I'm sure they're not, but they assume it's a time traveler.
Yeah.
For some reason.
That's the most logical leap to go to. Not that someone's looking at a thing that sort of looks like a cell phone, but that a time traveler went back in time and somehow got himself onto the set of a Charlie Chaplin movie, and then while on that set decided to check to see if his cell phone was working.
Actually,
by the way, it wouldn't be because he's in the past.
Well, right. And this actually feeds back to, there was one from a few months ago. That didn't make quite the waves. This made it on CNN and on Time Magazine and everything else.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's, as we record this, it's made and in lighter news, blah, 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 I miss Morbo.
Well, it's the slowest possible news day. So,
but there was one, I think over the summer, or sometime earlier this year, where the grand opening of some Canadian bridge. Like, I remember it was in Canada. I remember it was like a big, you know, ribbon cutting for a new architectural thing. Might have been a bridge or a big building or something like that. There's a crowd gathered, and there's a dude who looks like he's dressed in modern clothes, like wearing headphones and like modern sunglasses and you know, again, time traveler. And we'll provide you a link there. And it's very strange to me that suddenly now in 2010, we're spotting all these time travelers. If they changed history, wouldn't we have spotted it years ago?
Well, technically, if they've just changed history, we'd be seeing it now.
No, if they just changed history, then it would have always been that way. And in this current timeline, you would have seen it in 1980 and it would have been there, right? You understand what I mean? I mean, you know, the logic gets a little screwy here.
Time travel paradoxes.
You're not thinking fourth dimensionally, Matt. Come on. So I started
not even
fucking around
third dimensionally.
I started fucking around with Photoshop just for the hell of it, and that's where this week's cover comes from. And I wish I was better, because
you started fucking around with Photoshop, and somehow it opened a portal to 1930.
Yeah, we were no, it was like 19. Yeah, it was 1930 actually. It's a good call, because it was the Great Depression. And then after I finished, you know, my clever job that no one's ever going to see through because it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I realized that there is, we're outside a donut thing.
Oh, God.
Fuck. So
just when you got out.
Let me preemptively say, the last time that reference was funny was fucking 1930. All right. But yeah, it got me thinking about the whole, like, I mean, obviously these aren't time travelers. If people want to think it is, one of the writers of Lost, one of the guys who should be working on Star Trek II, by the way, was saying, yeah, great. Thank you, scientists, for pointing out that that's not actually a time traveler. I think there's a kid somewhere who still believes in Santa Claus. And, you know, I'm with you there. That's fine.
Yeah.
So fine. Time travelers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm travelers.
Could we not go back in time and meet Mark Twain, please? He doesn't react well.
No, he really he's not the best person to meet. No, but I got to thinking, we were talking about this on Twitter with a couple of people, and I got realizing if I traveled, like, I used to watch Back to the Future and think, really, how hard could it be to live 30 years ago? The world has not changed so much that you would just be so out of place. But then I got to thinking, you know, it's 2010. If I traveled back in time for some reason, with a killer robot driving instructor. The talking pie is your heart. Now, if I suddenly, for some reason, found myself in 1980, it would be difficult to function.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and I don't, you know, I know this is well-worn territory by everyone else, but if I didn't have access to the internet and a cell phone and all the stuff we have, it would be difficult to adjust.
Yep.
It would be nigh impossible for me to, like, when we start talking about something, I inevitably go look it up on Wikipedia just because that's what I've trained myself to do.
Yep.
And I'd have to go look it up in a book.
Ugh. Look it up on Encyclopedia Britannica, which doesn't have a pop culture section.
No. But
oh, God, all my references.
Well, the references would be lost, too, because most – I think the earliest thing we usually refer to is The Simpsons.
Yeah, well, I mean – The best thing there is that you could then go back in time and basically rewrite The Simpsons from memory.
I suppose, but, you know, then that's probably a bad idea. You get that whole recursive paradox thing where you didn't think of it, so it no longer exists, so you couldn't have thought of it.
Oh, man.
Yes, don't fuck with time. Come on. Have we learned nothing?
I haven't.
But... you know, it would be very difficult. It would be very difficult. And as you point out, if I had my cell phone with me, it doesn't matter. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
There's no, like, everything I have depends. Like, I thought, okay, I would rule 1980 because I would show them all the awesome things I had and they would worship me as a god. But those things depend on there being GPS satellites and the internet as we know it now in place, and they don't exist yet. So
yeah, it's not like you could invent transparent aluminum or anything.
How do you know he didn't invent the thing? So then, as it turns out, there's this article that came out, and it's been making the rounds, but I checked this out. There's apparently this some science thing going on about they're making the world's most precise clock that could somehow reveal that the universe is a hologram. You know, like in that Star Trek episode.
Right.
And it got me realizing the way science is now, like – all of us want there to be better space travel and possibly time travel and flying cars and jetpacks. But when you look at what science is actually doing, it's like it's almost imaginary. It's like, what? What?
Science has proven that the universe is a giant metal unicorn.
Well, Stephen Hawking said so, so it must be
true. And here's our proof in this diagram that you cannot possibly understand.
We will provide a link to the best one, like I said, I saw this article a bunch of times. The one from Wired seemed like the most comprehensive of the sites that I read.
Mm.
And God damn it, it didn't make a lick of sense. There are English words in here. But the way science is now, it just gets weirder and weirder. Like the universe is, what, it's saddle-shaped, I think, now.
Okay.
And I don't know, that might be a hologram.
A hologram-shaped saddle. Wait. No, you know what? I'm going with that. Hologram-shaped saddle.
That makes just as much sense as the other way around.
Yep.
I wish I could understand science because I love science, but I don't – it's beyond me now.
This is why I will always prefer science that doesn't actually make any sense.
This is why it's not necessary to understand how warp drive works on Star Trek or anything else. Because you know what? You go fast. Good enough for me. It's made of goes fast. This is something I've always wanted to talk about, and there's not a lot to say about it. Just the fact that science is basically imaginary now, and it's all this weird hypothetical abstract, like have you the subatomic particles, like they're strange or they're I don't know, there's some weird classification of quarks that are like flavored, and I don't know, man, it's all
flavored quarks.
Yeah, that is the thing, that is a real thing. Here's a thing I'm going to put out. If there is someone out there that we know or that listens to the show who understands this crap and can put it to us in a way that it actually makes sense to us, somebody like Bill Nye, the science guy who can, you know, boil complex things down into simple metaphors, get in touch with us. I'd love to hear this, the universe is a hologram thing explained in a way that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't want to be fucking magnets. How do they work? But
no.
Science is getting to the point where we're going to feel that stupid.
Yeah. And of course, while shopping on the promenade, come on down to Flavored Quarks for the best for the best Ferengi cuisine you can get.
Come to Quarks. Quarks is fun. Come right now. Don't walk. Run. All right. That's pretty much all we got this week. Matt, is there anything?
I think we're done here.
Very well. Cluster Falling 2 is coming up. If you haven't signed up for that, please do. It's looking like quite the guest list. I started out blocking out two shows for that. We're now to three.
Mm-hmm.
We might end up having to go to four, which I would love.
Yeah.
I do. I enjoyed what we did last year. I think this year will be even more fun. So if you haven't signed up for that yet, if for some reason you haven't heard us talk about this before, we, rather than asking you all questions that someone else has provided, we will now ask questions that we have made for you.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and I will devise questions to ask you specifically and do a 5-10 minute segment on the show with you. Love to hear from more of you.
Sign up. That's the thing you're interested in. Yeah. You know.
Podcast@algar.com or the voicemail 206-973-3982. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's more and more commercials to do throughout the show, and I apologize for that, but we got a lot of stuff to talk about, damn it.
We're busy.
So busy. So lazy. All right, folks, that's all from us. Till next time. We're gonna stop talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010.
I suspect that even time travelers are vulnerable to the Colt 45.